We must face reality and acknowledge that some scientific programs promise greater returns for human society than do others. And if funds are limited, there must be allocation. How much more carefully must those nations plan which are still facing the need to develop rapidly both industrial capability and agricultural sufficiency, as well as good health standards and an educational base sufficient to support all of these. It is not enough for the scientist to recognize his dependence upon society for support. It is also necessary for him to recognize his place in science, the social process, to assess his contribution to the betterment of mankind. To see this, he must reach beyond the immediate consequences of any technological application of his discoveries and strive to grasp its most far-reaching and long-lasting effects upon the terrestrial environment and the social system of man as a whole. To do this is neither accustomed nor easy. We must consequently contemplate a new order of education in science, one truly appropriate for the challenge of the next century. It must begin with a study of science as social process, the history of scientific and technological alterations of human society, and the consideration of the present and future goals of mankind. To bring to birth a new sort of history of science, far less than now a recital of who discovered what just when, and to originate a new sort of philosophy of science, far less than now a logical analysis of scientific method and no more than that, these are indeed urgent priorities. Combined, they will provide a study of science in the service of man, combined with a study of the relation of science to man's goals and ethical values. The content of particular sciences can be adapted to meet these priorities if a teacher really wishes it. In this way, content and process can become fully wedded in the teaching of science. The duality of subject matter and method of inquiry can be wholly united. It is, of course, not sufficient to train only the young scientist himself in this new way. For a scientific society to be democratic and to remain democratic, the people themselves must understand the nature of the scientific forces and problems that dominate their lives. For us who are teachers, that is our task and our commitment. Here, let us find relief from the trivial. Here we may seek and join the timely with the timeless, the socially relevant with the eternally true, the goals of man with his status in the universe, of which he is indeed so small a part. The task will require a rewriting of all textbooks and a reorientation of every attitude and method in lecture and laboratory. Science curriculum studies will need to discard what they have just completed in order to begin afresh. All levels of science instruction must be changed. The task will be costly and long and hard. But the end is not even the advancement of science, though that will accrue. The true end is quite literally the salvation of man.
Dr. Glass, your provocative concepts have added new dimension to our thinking at this conference. You imply the necessity, the urgent necessity of a new philosophy for us all, a new poetry, and a new system, social system, economic system, if we're to develop the quality of living which you envisage in your treatise. We're indeed indebted to you for providing so scholarly a paper for us, making so excellent a presentation. Victor, do you have anything further by way of announcement?
Only that there are messages for a number of people in the Canal desk. I'm not sure who they're for, so please say.
The afternoon symposium convene at 2 o'clock. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Excellent, very good. Really wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, we're working with I'm
come over here.